I want you to read with me in Mark chapter 15, this from verse 27. Scripture says, "With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross.' Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe.'" And note this verse here: "Even those who were crucified with him reviled him." This from Mark's version of the gospel. Just like the two thieves in this story, you and I are under a sentence of death, some of us sooner than later, because the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Paul goes on to say in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We're just like the thieves. We've robbed, we've stolen, we've hurt, we've maimed, we've maligned. We've stolen glory and things and reputations. We've stolen time. We've stolen opportunity. You and I are just as guilty as the two thieves that were on that cross. We're all sinners and incapable of saving ourselves. So God, in his infinite love and mercy and wisdom, made a way for us. And the scripture says in John 3:16-17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Every person who has ever walked the earth or will walk the earth is either the thief on the right or the thief on the left. Every single person, the man on the left or the man on the right. The only question is, when we die, do we enter a place that was designed for Satan and his angels, a place called hell, or do we die and go to a place that Jesus introduced to this other thief on the cross, a place called paradise? Your eternal destiny is completely and totally based on what you do while you have breath. Whoever believes in him, John 3:18 says, whoever believes in him, Jesus, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So it's true. You and I, everyone in this room, everyone walking the planet today, regardless of nationality, background, whatever country they're from, whatever heritage, whatever lineage, whatever color, whatever creed, every single one of us are under a death sentence because of the power of sin. Scripture says in Hebrews 9:27, "And on it is appointed," it's appointed unto one, to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Say that with me: once to die, and then the judgment. We should not think that we have all the time in the world as we sit here. On 9/11, 2,977 souls lost their lives in New York City, the District of Columbia, and in Pennsylvania during that terrorist attack. I guarantee you, no one got up today thinking this was going to be the last day on earth. In the Indian Ocean, 2004, this great tsunami hit. And if you can believe this, 225,000 people from Thailand, India, Sri Lanka, and Indonesia lost their lives. A Spanish family coming to New York City just recently for business, take a tour, all five of them on a tour helicopter, and end up in the Hudson River, all six dead. Travelers that were going to D.C. were struck by a Black Hawk helicopter, and all 67 of them were killed. You see, outside of Christ, you don't have any protection or promise of life. You have maybe somebody praying for you and the very grace of God. Everyone here, regardless of what we believe, are on borrowed time the day we're born. Deuteronomy 30:19, though, gives us hope. He says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses." And he gives you a tip here. Now choose life. Say that with me. Now choose life. We can choose the path of the obstinate thief or the one of the repentant thief. To not choose today is, in fact, to choose. It all has to do with what you do with the man in the middle. What will you do yourself with the man in the middle? For he says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "In the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." So who was this man in the middle? He's the one described prophetically by the prophet Isaiah, the one that would suffer for you and for me. He says this in Isaiah 53, 4 through 6, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." What is he? He's the sinless, spotless Son of God. That's who that man in the middle is. Who is he? He's the Passover lamb, and you need his blood to be protected today. He is the King of the Jews, but he's also the King of all creation. He is the Messiah, the Christ. He is the ruler of the universe. He is the singular resurrected one. Amen. The firstborn from the dead. He is the Lord and Savior. You know, when I thought and began thinking about these two individuals on the cross for months and months and months, I began to meditate on all the things that the thief that eventually turned to Christ didn't do. He never went to a prayer meeting. He was not baptized in water. He never read his Bible like he should. Never partook of communion like we did this morning. He never went to a newcomer's class and never got to go to one of those famous newcomer's dinners. And Lord knows he never had a cinnamon roll like that in his entire life. No ministry service, never tithes, never gave an offering, no missions trips, never did anything that we as Christians know that because we're saved we do, but he didn't do any of those. So the question is, how does this work? What did he do? How did he treat the man in the middle? What was his response? He shows us by his response how we actually are saved and the same way we're saved today. Reading this same passage from Mark to Luke today in chapter 23, verse 39, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. There's the change. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you're under the same sentence? We're punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." Every person in this room is under a sentence of death. You will either follow the example of the thief who did not turn to Christ, or you'll follow the example of the one that did turn to Christ in the midst of his own punishment. The question is, what did he do? It's really very similar to what we do today. First of all, you come to your senses. Look at somebody and tell them, "Come to your senses." The thief originally reviled Jesus, but realized that he was not the problem, and he rebuked the other thief. Just like the prodigal son in the story in Luke 15, how his father wanted him and longed for him to come home. He finally had enough when he found himself in the pig pen, eating what the pigs were eating, and longed to come home to be with his father. The Bible says in that passage that he came to his senses. When he came to his senses, he got up. When you come to your senses, you're ready to have a change. And it's not just in the natural what you come to, your senses. And it's about having God touch your heart today with the reality here. Folks, there's only one name given under heaven by which we must be saved. It's Jesus. No one else is coming. No one else has paid the price with his blood. No one else has been raised from the dead. Turn to somebody and smile. No one else is coming. But we have the hope that he's coming again, don't we, church? So you come to your senses here. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and come down. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. If you're going to be saved, no matter where you are or what place you're at or what time you lived in, you're going to have to come to your senses. The way you've been living, what you've been doing, what you've been believing isn't working for you. Number two, you need to acknowledge your sin. He said it very plainly. We deserve to be here. Our behavior dictates it, but he has done nothing wrong. We're punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Say that, Jesus did nothing wrong. He was tempted as we are at every point, the Bible says, yet without sin. Look at somebody and say, that's my Jesus. You got to acknowledge your sin in some form or fashion, without some long flowing theologically correct prayer, but a prayer from the heart that says, you know what? I've come to my senses. The path I'm going down is wrong. And I need to acknowledge that the way I've been living, the way I've been doing, what I've been thinking, what I've been involved in is not right. I need someone who has sacrificed their life for my sin. And there's only one person that was even qualified to do that. In addition to coming to your senses and acknowledging your sin, you need to express faith in Jesus. Again, not because somebody has a checklist of things you have to say or the way you have to be. We're talking about faith from the heart, expressing confidence that this is the one true God. Remember me, he said, when you come into your kingdom. What a powerful statement. This is a tacit confession of Jesus as King and Lord, recognizing he is King over a multitude, King over a kingdom. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Every person in this room is under a sentence of death. Every single one. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not on a cross. I've got plenty of time. You don't realize it. When you're driving your car, you're under a sentence of death. When you go to work and sit behind that desk, you're under a sentence of death. When you go play that round of golf, you're under a sentence of death. When you go have a vacation, you're under a sentence of death. Everywhere you go, you're under that sentence. And the only hope you have is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So I want to encourage you. What's striking about this thief on the cross is what he did parallels what Paul said we had to do to be saved. The scripture is found in Romans 10, verse 9. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah. Just like ye are. Yeah. Under death sentence, just like the thief, nothing going for you, nothing to offer, but you acknowledge your sin. And you confess him. You believe in your heart today that God raised Jesus from the dead. And you say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Amen. And confession, the Bible says, is made unto salvation. Now, obviously, we know a whole lot more about the theology of this than the man on the cross. But he did something that was obviously right, for the Lord promised him he would be in paradise with the Lord that day. I'm telling you, there is a destiny for the other cross. The other thief on the cross, and there's a destiny for this thief on the cross. And what you want to do is follow the example of the one who stopped the reviling, stopped the rejecting, stopped the rebuking, stopped the malarkey, and finally turned to the Lord. Common sense says, understand you need to turn from your wicked ways, acknowledge your sin, and give your life to Christ. Everything changed that day for that man. Amen. You know, the same Spirit works the same way today. So I want you to bow your heads with me, if you would. And I want you to pray this prayer out loud. And if you pray it from your heart, you're no better, no worse than that thief. God will do a supernatural work in your life. In this room are people who have known the Lord but strayed from Him. In this room are people that are walking with God. And today, like today and every other Easter, you are just reaffirmed in your faith, and that's a wonderful thing with so much doubt and fear and unbelief out there. There are some here that are completely backslidden and some that have never, ever confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. Really, this entire service is about honoring the resurrected one and sharing with you the love that is found in His name and in His sacrifice. So I want you to pray this all over the building and pray it audibly. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful You loved us enough to send Jesus. I'm so thankful that He loved us enough to go to the cross and stay on the cross. I'm so thankful that You raised Him from the dead after He paid for our sin. I'm so thankful He is risen. He is alive. But I acknowledge today and every day, I need to come to my senses. I need to understand this is reality. I am, like everyone else, under a death sentence. Without Christ, there is no hope in a life today or the one to come. So I acknowledge I too have sinned. I've fallen short of the glory of God. And today, on this marvelous day, Resurrection Sunday, I repent of my sin. I understand I deserved to be on that cross, but You took the punishment for me. And I say today, I do believe God raised You from the dead. And I say with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And I believe that my confession is made unto salvation. That thief didn't do anything to save himself. It was all about what You did. I receive today that same salvation, that same mercy, that same grace that that thief received over 2,000 years ago. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for opening my heart, opening my eyes to receive You today in Jesus' name. So what's next, Pastor Art? What's next is the rapture of the church and the resurrection from the dead.
Yeah. Yep.
And the most marvelous homecoming that the universe has ever seen. Yeah. Those who have died in Christ will be raised first, and those which remain will be caught up together in the clouds of those, and so we shall be with the Lord forevermore. We're blessed people. Imagine you're there today around that throne. Sing this with great celebration in your heart today, for you serve the risen Savior. Amen.